Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at True Car. And if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same can go for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why they came out with True Price from True Car. Now you'll know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even go to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Check it out.
Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yes, that is right, Josh Wiggler. We back.
We're back. Oh, my God. We're back in the Wiggle Room. How delightful. You enjoyed your special week on the road, hanging out with all of your friends.
Yeah.
Now you're listening to this and you're driving along or commuting in some other way, and the day awaits you, and you're nervous about what's ahead. But for one
is this a face story?
And 15 some odd minutes, we're going to transport you to another dimension. A room, if you will. A wiggle room.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not going to do every single podcast. It's not going to start like that from now on. I just felt like doing it.
But you were taking us into the Mizarro zone for a second.
No, oh, man. I wish. I don't want to bring Antonio into this. Antonio's request is to not be brought into this, so I will honor his request.
Yeah. You know what I had thought of recently was that I know you've had this ongoing feud with Shut Up Tim over the hats, but the auteur of the Wiggle Room theme song is none other than Shut Up Tim.
Oh, that's a good point.
Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yeah. So are you considering replacement theme songs? I mean, that we have all of the wand off talent. Are you looking for a new Wiggle Room theme song?
This is a very interesting and potentially highly controversial subject to debate right now. I love the Wiggle Room theme song. And to call it a feud with Shut Up Tim is, I don't think that's exactly what this is. I think it's more that, like, Shut Up Tim has been, like, the fly that won't die, you know, just like sort of just like swarming around and like pelting out the occasional "those hats are bad" songs. Like, that's annoying. It's annoying. I don't think about it all the time unless you bring it up, in which case now I'm incensed. But I'd be open to entertaining the notion of another Wiggle Room song. Would that just be like too jarring to start with, too mayo jarring to start with something completely different?
All right, well, we'll talk about that in the off season because we got a lot of stuff to do. Of course,
curious for the feedback though. I'd be, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're on the Twitters and stuff, just you can holler at Rob and I and just say, yeah, I'd be open to a new Wiggle Room theme song. And if you are one of the many Wandoff contributors and you just have something you want to toss out into the universe, we would listen to it, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, maybe that's an off-season discussion in terms of what the songs could possibly be.
Ooh, that could be the off-season wand-off.
Yeah. Okay, Josh, so let's get into episode number 10 of Survivor Ghost Island. I was looking at the calendar and I had saw that I talked about, I think last week, there was just a month to go in the Survivor season, but we are now heading into the home stretch of the final three Survivor weeks in terms of like the full podcast lineup that we do. This is the last podcast of episode number 10. And then basically, you know, three more weeks of shows and it's the finale.
That's crazy. Yeah. So we've got May 2nd, May 9th, May 16th are going to be the normal Survivor evenings. And then we're closing out on the 23rd is finale night. Is that right?
Yes. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's all coming to a head. The Survivor season flies by. Every single time. It really, like, you blink and it's over.
Well, then I am never going to blink again because I don't want this to ever end. Never. Just put me in, like, the Clockwork Orange machine and keep those eyes open. Actually, please don't. That sounds like a nightmare for me.
And then it's the long off season coming up after that. But we'll talk about everything, you know, we're having to do with that once we get closer to it. But let's talk about
future problems.
Yes. Okay. Josh, it was the.
Let's talk about the here and now.
Yes.
Now!
And the person who's not here now is Desiree.
Yeah. Ah, Desiree. Good call, Rob. Desiree would be the person to have like the next big explosive episode. Oh, God. Oh, man. Yeah. Desiree, she has left the building. Now, you described it a little bit on the Live Know-It-Alls podcast with Steven. You talked a little bit about what the reaction was like in the room. But I don't know that, that really came across for someone like me who was not fortunate enough to attend the event. What was the temperature of the crowd as Desiree was getting voted out of Survivor?
The crowd seemed like they liked it. The crowd seemed pleased with the outcome of the vote. I think that maybe it was a decision. Was it going to be Michael? Was it going to be Laurel? And Desiree was, you know, the least popular of those three in the room. And maybe it was like, hey, well, at least it's Desiree. Or I think that maybe people like to see, you know, people like they like the big moves, but then they also like to see someone make a big move and then get slammed back down to earth.
This was kind of a catch-22 situation, I feel like, where you want to see the big move. You want to see there be some sort of like momentum swing in a moment like this. And you want to see Desiree succeed because she's potentially rallying the Malolo four, and that could be great because, you know, everyone is just nervous that it's just going to be like Malolo, Malolo, Malolo all in a row, all in a line. So it'd be great. Like, you want to root for all of that to happen. But at the same time, if then the choice becomes, once the plan blows up, if the choice is between Des and Michael has been so flashy, like, it's hard. It's hard to know exactly where you want to land on all of this. Just wish that I would have liked it if this had all gone through. As much as I love Kellen, I think it would have been very exciting TV if Des had led the charge against Kellen and it had succeeded.
But Desiree, in my mind, in looking back at this, yes, it was tantalizing to think that this could have happened. But Desiree was miscast in my mind as the person who was going to be the architect of this. She did not seem to have the relationships. And, you know, I talked about this. We did the podcast with Ben Dreebergen, who had Lauren Rimmer at his house. And if you go
number
back,
one Wandoff fans.
Yeah,
oh my
they're
God.
Huge Wandoff fans. But when they came together and started their own thing, that Lauren put together people that she had close relationships with and said, hey, I want this to be the four, as opposed to Desiree, who just looked at a four and said, hey, you guys should vote with me. Let's do this. You're at the bottom. I'm at the bottom. Let's make this all come together. And as Tony Vlachos once referred to something like this, this was an alliance, Josh, of numbers.
Yes, yes.
And it was not an alliance of comfort.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's a really good point. I think the, you know, when we do the evolution of strategy postmortem on this move, I think that that will still be front of mind. And I think that it emphasizes the idea of how critical the social game is when it comes to Survivor and how that is really the king. That is on top of the mountain over, you know, just straight up strategy and brute force. I think if you don't have the social finesse, it's always going to be a difficult climb. And in this case, I think that's exactly what happened here, that I think Des had the right idea. It was a great idea and it's a great moment to do it, but just doesn't have that connection with Laurel and Michael. Michael, she should. I mean, Michael and her, they spent a lot of time together. She spent a decent amount of time with Jenna as well. So you would think that maybe there's a connection there. But Laurel and Donathan, she's really got no relationship with those people as far as we've been shown on the show. And they've spent no time together except for this, you know, humongous merge tribe, you know, of so many people. So I do think that that is the biggest issue, that while, yes, on paper, now feels like a great time to drive a wedge into those huge Navidi numbers, this is just not necessarily the person you want to go to war with. And in the exit press, Des made it sound to me like she had come to them first without really consulting anybody else on her side about making this swing. Like, I think she maybe talked to Angela a little bit, but it doesn't sound like she talked to Chelsea at all and wasn't going to until it was too late. So what is she really bringing to bear with the conversation with these four Malolo? Like, it's the five of us, and I have a few other people who I think will be on board. Then again, knowing, you know, the way that Des is so committed to the lie, like, she could have promised that, like, oh yeah, I've got like Dominic's gonna be in on it, Wendell's in on it, every Jeff Probst, he's gonna rig the vote so that it works, it's gonna be awesome. Like just the audacity of the lies, I thought that was so much fun to watch. It was just how committed she was to just completely gaslighting this tribe.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I also don't know if Chelsea and Angela would have been in on it, that you saw Desiree say, okay, no, I can get them. But I asked Desiree in the exit interview as well of, did Chelsea know anything about it? She said, no, I didn't tell her about the plan. And she may have sunk Chelsea's game also, because she's looked at as a co-conspirator here. And she never even got the memo that this was going to happen.
Yeah, fully expecting Chelsea to go home very soon as a result of this, right? Like, because she's one of the only people who doesn't vote correctly in this vote. She votes with Des to go for Michael. And I think that just the stank of the move, it might waft over in Chelsea's direction. You know, we talked last week about wanting to see like a real Chelsea showcase, and hey, good for her on the immunity win. That's fantastic. But maybe that episode where Chelsea is going to pop, it could be as soon as this week, and it could be because she is about to be eliminated.
But an interesting thing that we've seen this basically already happen once this season, where, and not as dramatically, but Michael had a very similar conversation with Angela, and Michael went to Angela and said, hey, you're at the bottom, vote with the Malolo tribe, and we could flip the numbers and we'll take out Wendell. And the same exact thing happened where Angela went back and told everybody from Navidi of, hey, guess what? Michael is trying to do this. And then Michael would have been voted out if it wasn't for the grace of the effing stick. So we're seeing these people that are at the bottom of these groups, and they are really not banding together to take out the bigger threats in the game.
I also think you've talked about all of this stuff, so I apologize for being repetitive.
But you haven't. Yeah
I haven't. But I mean, I really do think, yeah, Kellen clearly had a blind spot to Des, where she really didn't want to believe that Des was coming after her while Des really was coming after her. And I agree with what you have talked about with other people. Like, not a great look for Kellen this week. Not a great look for the winner pick that you and I have. But at the same time, like, Kellen was so committed to Des that if Des wants to make this move, you gotta make it against Dom and Wendell directly, I feel like. So I don't know, just there was a lot of things that were on paper, it was exciting and it was a fun prospect to consider, and I would love to see some real infrastructural damage to this Navidi crew, because I don't want to see this just be a straight down the line destruction of the Malolos. That's when you look at Ghost Island in retrospect, it would be a real tarnish on the season, I think. So I would love for this to have worked, but it was such a flimsy construction. And I think that was a big piece of it, was her desire to go after Kellen first. Above all, Kellen was someone that she played the entire game with Kellen, and really had Kellen in her corner. I just don't understand why she would be target number one of everybody else. And I wasn't convinced by Dez's logic in the exit interview either.
The interesting thing, though, about the construct of this season is that everybody sort of like has their alliance that they're publicly showing the world of, you know, like Kellen and Wendell and Dominic, they're all showing, okay, oh, we're Navidi strong, but really Dominic and Wendell, it's like, okay, well, we've really got Laurel and Donathan, and that's really, you know, if we want to, we can do that. But Kellen is also, she's Navidi strong, but really I think she feels like, okay, I've got my Chelsea and Angela, and Desiree was part of that, and then we'll vote out the guys when we get down to that's once we get rid of the Malolo people. And, you know, the Malolo feel like that, I guess that they have each other, but they secretly want to do something else. So everybody is sort of like going along with one thing, but really has another thing in mind. And hopefully some of those proxy fights end up really flaring up now. Ooh. That we're down to 10 people.
Yeah. Show me some of those proxy fights.
Is it 10
know.
Or is it 9 now?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think it's 10. I'm pretty sure
I think it's 10. But yeah, we're headed towards potentially losing two people this
week. We're just in that like thick of the numbers where there are so many people still in the game that it's like it's confusing. You know, with the merges happening as early as they've been happening these days, it's just it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
And lots of people.
There's a lot of people. It's very tricky. I do think that it would help Survivor to have less swaps and merge later and have people stay at their original tribes for longer.
Yes, because I really do think that this this season, combined with less so with Triple H, actually, but more so with Game Changers, these have been seasons where those first 6 days have mattered so much to the dynamics of the game, and it's all been presented in one night of Survivor. Yes, like a big night of Survivor, but still just 1 week of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Nuku bonds are ironclad, the Navidi bonds are ironclad, and you're seeing it was Mana Tribe, I believe, in Game Changers, if yeah. I'm remembering that right, and you're seeing the Malolo Tribe, and you're just seeing these tribes get stomped on, and you don't really fully appreciate or understand why. And it's because those first 6 days of the game are obviously so intense for those players that I think that you got to figure out a way to either bust that up effectively in terms of like the game mechanisms, like in terms of the game structure, or you have to find a way to make that sensible to the viewer, whether that is 2 weeks, you've got two tribal councils across 2 weeks rather than two tribal councils in a single night for the premiere, though I like the action-packed premiere, or you keep the tribes as is for longer because those initial bonds are just going to stick as they are anyway. I think that that week three shakeup or that third tribal council shakeup area is not quite as reliably effective as maybe Survivor thinks it is. Like, it worked really well for Millennials versus Gen X. It worked somewhat and didn't really even work that well for Second Chance, which is another mm-hmm. season where you're seeing like buy on strong is so important. So I do think those early loyalties end up being so hard to unravel. And if it's not told in a compelling enough way to the viewer, it gets messy and confusing. And that's when like my super good friends who are super casual Survivor fans are completely lost watching the show, which is exactly what is happening right now on Ghost Island.
Yeah, I listened to a interesting podcast recently with the Bill Simmons podcast, and he talked to Chuck Klosterman. And I try to always listen to any interview that I can get my hands on that with Chuck Klosterman. And Chuck Klosterman has been a longtime Survivor fan. He had done a rather, infamous Survivor interview with Jeff Probst a couple of years back, where Jeff Probst talked about how one of the big problems they had in Survivor One World, where right. there were two contestants that had such a low IQ that it ruined the season. And that was
the opposite of a squiggle. That's a wiggle.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting blind item that we talked about for a while. But right. Chuck Klosterman was saying that that his problem with Survivor is that where in the beginning of Survivor, it was, with a truck driver and sort of like just big personalities, and it was like all character. Then it got into a phase of the game where there was a strategy, and the strategy was winning out over these characters. That it's gotten to a point where there's too much strategy, he was saying in the show. And while that is not a new talking point in any sort of podcast discussion of Survivor, it was the first time in sort of mass media, or I don't even know what you would call podcasting, but it was sort of like outside the bubble of the Survivor podcasting and Survivor Twitter. I hadn't really heard that brought up as a talking point.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think it's fair. I mean, it's something that I have people in my life who are not listening to podcasts at all, who don't read
what?
Exit interviews, who don't, I know, believe it or not, it's crazy, and they do watch Survivor, and they just are having a really hard time following along. And I do think that I firmly believe that the people who make this show have incredible reverence for the game of Survivor, and they love the game of Survivor, and just from speaking with them and seeing them make the game of Survivor, it's so clear how much they love what happens out there and seeing these magical moments come to life. But I do think sometimes like that experience doesn't always translate so effectively on TV, and that can be pinned on a lot of different things. The fact that it's only a 43-minute episode of television told across 60 minutes is one thing, and you don't get, I think that's one of the benefits that you get from an Australian Survivor or something like that, where these episodes can run for 90 minutes and you have like incredible opportunities to really dig into character. Maybe 24 people is a lot, but I think that the runtime is very effective. Or if there was even some sort of, you know, if there were more secret scenes than just one, you know, per episode that you could do online to even deepen things more that way. But there's also stuff that you can do in terms of the game itself. And I think one of them, I think you're onto something where I think that keeping the initial tribes as is for a longer stretch of time than just the first two tribal councils, I think is really important. And I think especially in the cases of the seasons that we've discussed in this context, where you've gone from, you know, two tribes to three tribes at that third tribal council spot, in all of those cases, you have seen, or at least in the cases that are not millennials versus Gen X, you have seen you've seen one tribe lose both challenges and vote two people out, and then one tribe avoid tribal council two times, and they want to ride that momentum through a swap. And it's just not so clear to the viewer why that's the case. But of course, it makes so much sense in terms of 6 days of real time why mm-hmm. they would want to carry that momentum forward. So it's a tricky thing to unravel.
Yeah, I think that my two modest suggestions would be no more 20 people in a new player season. That's too much. Save that for the All-Stars where you're going to bring back. I think that if you would have had 18 people versus 20, I think that that would have gone a long way with fleshing out some of these characters that we don't see that much of. And then also, I think that instead of, you know, such a quick tribe swap and two tribe swaps before the merge, just, you know, sticking to one and maybe merge not at 13, because that's not really providing a lot of fruit either.
I think my most radical suggestion would be, if you're looking for like a new opening twist, and we've talked about this before, but maybe it's been a minute, give One World another shot. Give One World another
but
spin.
No, I think that that's going to make things more complicated, because if we're talking about...
It might
about,
be. It's yeah. like the exact... It's like the it's like the solution that I'm proposing is like to just like dig in deeper on being intensely complicated. But I think that that might give people more cross-tribal relationships early on that could provide more interesting and dynamic gameplay once tribes are being shaken up. So I don't know. I'm down for tribes to be a, I like your pitch of maybe 18 is a way to go instead of 20 for new player seasons.
Yeah. Nothing radical. But, we're not reinventing the wheel here. Just like people know, like in the beginning, people didn't, I got to stick with my tribe, but this is my people. I can't go with the other people. Now everybody knows you can go with the other people. So you that when they get a chance to get to the other people, that they may want to work with them.
And I think one of the, you know, Eliza even said it on the podcast with you on the feedback show about how Survivor has too many idols in the game right now. That's a very popular notion.
Rob is tweeting about that.
I know.
Hey, too many idols.
Yeah. Remember when you were Boston Rob for 3 days? Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah,
that was great. That was nice. Even if he's saying that, you know, it's something to pay attention to. I think that maybe the thing that I would focus on more is maybe too many swaps, even more so than too many idols and advantages in the game. Like, I think letting it ride out for a little while at the start, I think is a good idea of like, maybe that is a more modest proposal, as you put it, to Survivor, to kind of just like pump the brakes on that early portion of the game and just let that early portion of the game ride a little bit so the audience can get a little more familiar, because these kinds of old loyalties, it's going to be very hard to bust up. So at the very least, let's make them make more sense on a viewing standpoint. Look at us think tanking right now.
Yes. The think tank
impromptu
is happening.
Think tank,
so many things going to Samoa or Fiji.
they're all Fiji.
They're
now.
All going to Fiji. Josh,
yes.
Anything else about Desiree that you want to talk about?
No, I thought it was a fun fall, episode for her. Like it was, I would have liked to have seen the plan go through, just cause that would have been amazing. But, she was very funny. The whole, like, where's the lie? What's the lie? Like everything at Tribal Council was very entertaining to watch. So, I think Des gave us some good TV here and there along the way, but certainly in her final episode, I think she delivered.
Mm-hmm. Josh, we saw the first blow struck against Navidi since Chris going out was a Navidi person as well. But this felt like that for the first time, a Malolo was targeted and instead a Navidi person went home. Do you feel like was this the first slight win for the Malolo rebels?
Oh my God, I hope so.
The Rogue One of the Malolo tribe.
I mean, if Rogue One is our point of comparison, this does not end well for Malolo. It ends really poorly.
It got the ball rolling.
Malogue One. Yeah, I hope not. I hope that's not the case. I hope this is more a new hope. I hope that they had to fire into the Navidi alliance in like just the right impossible to hit spot, and that was Desiree. Am I banking on it? No. Am I hoping for it? Absolutely. I want to see Michael have new life in this game. I want to see some Jurger bombs being dropped. I think would be fun. I want to see Laurel and Donathan make a move against Dominic and Wendell, because who knows what it looks like from inside the game, but from outside the game it's so clear you guys need to move away from those people. They're just going to trounce on you in the end if you stick around. So of course I want to see all of that. Am I thinking that that is the direction? I don't know if Desiree going home is enough to shift the direction of this. I mean, there was some butting of the heads between Dominic and Kellen that I think, that could potentially be something that's a fissure to explore. But I don't know. I hope so, but I'm not feeling great about that being, a turn of the tide.
So
to be honest,
what do you think is more likely to happen next? And the answer could be both things, because we have two people potentially going home this week. Do you think that Chelsea has to pay the price for being being a loyal friend of Desiree? Or do you think that we go back to targeting Malolo this week?
I think that we probably go back to targeting Malolos this week. And I think that the hope there is the discovery of the Korong idols that are now in Donathan's possession, and can either Donathan with the combined brain powers of the Malolos, could they play that effectively to do some damage against the Navidis? I think that is the more likely case to me than just everybody going after Chelsea right away, because I do think Chelsea still seems relatively harmless, and she didn't vote against a Navidi. She voted for Michael, who's like an easy consensus person to vote against right now. She feels inoffensive enough to me right now that it just doesn't make a lot of sense to go for her, unless people are afraid that she's suddenly going to be like a challenge beast. So I would guess that the sights are going to be turned back on Malolo. And my hope is that they can use that Korong idol and finally reverse the curse on that thing. And not only play it would be reversing the curse, but to play it effectively and to get somebody out, well, that would just be beautiful.
Okay, Josh, I want to go back to the setup for this whole tribal council of was Desiree telling the truth or was Laurel telling the truth? And Jeff Probst wanted to talk to Kellen about this.
Kellen, it's like the perfect crime. There's two versions, both very plausible. Only one can be true. And if you betray Navidi, you could be betraying somebody who was loyal.
I've been trying to be Sherlock Holmes all day, and I've been feeling like Helen Keller.
Oh, no.
I have been waiting for several days to talk to you about she's been feeling like Helen Keller, which immediately led me to two different paths. The first path was, Kellen. Regrettable moments on television. That was the first path. The second path was, Helen Keller sounds like Kellen Heller, which sounds like the name of President Heller's secret second daughter. And I was hoping
that's a big ask, Jeff.
Yeah, I was just hoping for like maybe a couple of quick seconds of President Heller impressions from Rob, only for the people who would care.
Yes. And I swear to God, I had the same thought earlier this week. So.
literally, probably 20. 24 people are laughing right now, and that is it. This is a 24 Live Another Day reference, everybody. It came back to Live Another Day.
Yes, but I would like to talk to you about Kellan Sherlock Holmes and the crack case, because I don't know if I would call in Kellan Sherlock Holmes to maybe Gordon Holmes. I would call in before.
I would call Gordon Holmes every day of the week, by the way,
because Kellan had the 100% wrong read on the whole thing.
Yeah, her gut was wrong. The gut lied this week in a rather massive way. I don't know if Sherlock Bechtold is somebody who I would necessarily call to solve the crime. At least this version of Kellan is going like a little bit the Veruca Salt route with the now of it all. Mm-hmm. This is just not the best.
Yes.
Just really not the best.
Now, who is the Watson to the Kellan Sherlock Holmes?
Oh, wow. That is a good question. Who is? I mean, I think like Desiree could have been the Watson, and then Watson betrayed Sherlock.
No, well, I think it's Seabass.
Oh, Seabass is.
I think Seabass is the Watson here. I think that's why they're like these bumbling detectives.
Oh my God. I think that Watson has gotten his hands on some of that that good Sherlock. I don't know. That seems like a weed joke. I don't know. I don't know who the Watson would be to Kellan's Sherlock Holmes, but the mystery we'll just have to let that be.
Yeah. Speaking of going back to Watson, yes. Let me play you this clip. This was from Seabass on the reward challenge. Of course, you know, everybody was paying close attention to what he said here.
You don't even need food when you get highs like that, man. It was so sick.
Yeah, so sick. but Josh, let me play you this clip that was also from Seabass in the helicopter.
Does this feel like we're flying into Jurassic Park right now?
Wah 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 wah. Wah 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 wah.
Yeah, I feel like I like Seabass's odds in Jurassic Park. No, actually, I don't. Let me take that back. He probably does get eaten by the T-Rex on the toilet.
The first guy that's eaten in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Seabass, the fate of the park is in your hands, and you have butterfingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wake up this morning, get a text, says park, ? I'm there. Stony baloney.
Yeah.
Eat a bagel. Get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. Steal some dinosaur DNA samples in a shaving cream can. Hang out with Newman. Yeah. I feel like he's riding in the backseat with Newman, and then when the Dilophosaurus shows up, it's there are no highs quite like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he gets eaten by like the pterodactyl thing from Jurassic World, and that's a true high.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that was a gnarly scene, by the way. That was an unnecessarily violent scene in Jurassic World, if we just want to pause down to appreciate how unfortunate that whole thing was.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, Josh, this upcoming episode, a lot going on. I know that we don't usually get too much into the previews, but there is something of note. And of course, if people are especially sensitive to this type of discussion of stuff from the commercials and the previews, then you could probably skip ahead about 5 minutes and you probably won't. You probably, you know, skip the whole rest of the show and you won't miss anything. But if you don't want to hear this specific conversation, we're going to talk about sort of the mechanics of what we expect to happen this week. Let me play you this clip. This is from Jeff, who is setting up this next immunity challenge and telling the survivors about what they're in store for.
Week's episode,
this
right?
Upcoming episode.
Okay, got it. Okay,
because not one but two people,
oh my God,
will win immunity, and two people will be voted out tonight.
Whoa.
Because we are having two separate tribal councils.
Oh my God.
Wow. Oh my God.
Whoa.
Okay. Two
man.
Separate tribal councils. Two immunity necklaces. Josh, do you hazard to guess how this might go down?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I just identified Michael immediately with, oh my God. I was just waiting for him to say, that's not Ghost. I feel like that would have been appropriate in that moment. This twist seems very un-Ghost to the 10 people remaining in the game. All right, so two tribal councils, two immunity necklaces. This is not Ghost. Yeah, Bill and Ted's not Ghost journey. Okay, so two tribal councils, two immunity challenges, two separate
tribal councils.
No,
hold on. I believe one immunity challenge, two necklaces, two tribal councils.
Okay, one immunity challenge, two necklaces, so two winners. So is that going to be like what they do where like a man wins and a woman wins? Is that, you know, that's been done in the past? Are they just going to stick with that? Or are they going to do something different? Does John Kierhofer have something insane?
Well, I guess
could you like opt to do one challenge over another or something like that?
Let me float a couple of things past you, because I've been thinking about this a little bit. Could we Michelle Yee it and end up breaking the group of 10 into two groups of five, and each group of five will compete for the immunity necklace, and then each group of five will vote somebody out of their group of five?
Wow. Well, so this is one of the most maligned twists in Survivor history that you're talking about, for the people who recall Survivor Fiji, mm-hmm. you know, the season that I was on. But to bring that back, I mean, talk about trying to reverse a curse. I feel like that was a very controversial twist. Like when you hear about the people who have been the most screwed over in Survivor history,
right.
Michelle Yee's name is often brought up, and those are really granular lists. So obviously the people who have done those deep dives are the ones who are making them, like, you know, you think of like Aaron, you think of Michelle Yee. So to do that again is that'd be controversial.
Yeah. Okay. So hypothetically, I'm just trying to think of how do we have one challenge, two necklaces, two tribal councils.
Yeah.
So okay, and then here's the other.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Though.
Here's another pitch for you. So we have the challenge, two winners, whether it's one man and one woman. Are they immune for two votes? And then we Jenny Guzman Bay this thing where we have one vote and then immediately after we have a second vote, but without having sort of the quiz at a tribal council. They used to do that a lot in some of like the mid-20s, like the least popular seasons. I think they did it in South Pacific and they did it in Redemption Island, right? Where
right.
they voted somebody out and they said, guess what? We're voting somebody out again. All right, pick up your blocks. And it was like some sort of lame
Steve Wright, you know?
Yeah, some lame quiz.
Yeah.
Could we give out two necklaces?
Yada, Steve Wright's gone home.
And your necklace is keeping you safe for two tribal councils, but we're going to vote somebody out. And then we're going to vote somebody out again.
Right. First of all, official motion to replace Church It Up with Jenny Guzman Bay It Up.
right. She was the second person that got voted out.
Yeah.
It was like Rebecca and Jenny Guzman Bay.
Yeah, I believe that is how it went down. Yeah, I mean, all we're missing is a message in a bottle and we're set.
Right. So which of those two things do you think is more likely? You think it's the second?
I mean, I think that's the one that's been done more, but the way that you outlined the resurrection of the Michelle Yee twist, like, that makes a lot of sense too,
because we're back in Fiji.
I know, honestly, I don't necessarily care for either of these options. I'm not necessarily excited about either one, but there are still so many people left in the game that I guess we gotta get rid of two people right now.
I mean, the third option, potentially, although Jeff said it was separate tribal councils, so it's not like the top two vote getters are going to go home. So if we're going to have two separate tribal councils, I don't know how you pull that off. And it could be, you know, some third thing that we've never seen before.
That would be wild if you're what you just said kind of casually of like two people, like the top two vote getters both go home. Has anything like that ever happened on Survivor before? Probably in one of the international versions. They do anything there.
Like, we'll try anything.
Yeah, they throw everything at the wall.
Yeah.
But no, it sounds like it's two tribal councils, he said, right? Specifically. So, I think it's very likely one of the two scenarios you outline. And I guess gun to my head, which one will I pick? I guess since they've only done the Michelle Yee thing once, I'm game for them to try it again and see if they've got a better idea for it. Like, as long as it isn't like they do the immunity challenge and then there is no time whatsoever to huddle back at camp about what the move is going to be the way that it was for that Michelle Yee vote, then, you know, I guess I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I actually think that the Michelle Yee thing would be interesting. I think if you were going to poll the four Malolos and ask them, which would you prefer? I think that they'd prefer the Michelle Yee scenario as opposed to the Jenny Guzman base scenario, where it's just so easy to pick two of them off if you have back-to-back tribal councils. And they, maybe from the production standpoint, it sort of accelerates the pagonging a little bit here. So as a viewer, there could be some utility in that. But if I'm in the game, I kind of feel like that, look, who knows? Maybe, you know, you could end up with, you know, one of the fives has Kellen. They want to take a shot at her. Or, you know, it wouldn't necessarily break down like we saw the earlier tribe swap where, okay, it's five Navidi over here and four Malolos and then, you know, break down evenly like that.
If you're Malolo and that is the scenario we're looking at, you have to be praying that all four of you are stuck together, right? And then you can just dunk on somebody, anybody, doesn't matter. But, you know,
or you're in the group that has three Malolo, or,
right.
You know, or potentially if you're Laurel and Donathan and you end up on a side with Dominic, and then you were going to want to take a shot at Kellen, or, you know, I think that you have more outs, I feel like, if it was the Michelle Yee thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think that either way, I think if I was one of those four, I'd be shaking them in boots.
If you did this would be a good excuse for a lot of people to dump out their idols. This would be like a good sort of like mid-merge advantage get in. Yeah, you'd burn a lot of idols, I think, if you did the Michelle Yee thing.
The mid-merge idol purge, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, burn some of these things like the Malolo flag and, you know, set everything back to basics a little
bit. Yeah, because basically it's the final five if you're in the Michelle. And I honestly feel like that there's like a 5% chance that this actually happens, but I'm so talking myself into it because I think it would be so exciting. I do think that if this was going to happen, I think that the announcer would be a little bit more hyped and like, yeah, a crazy twist hits the survivors. Right. And I don't feel like that we're getting that necessarily, although there was
You're
no announcer.
The announcer's a little
there
sweepy.
Was no announcer. This was just like a 90-second clip of the episode, but I feel like that Jeff might be a little more hyped. But I do feel like that this would actually work well on a lot of levels because I think a lot of people would play their idol that night.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point. You know, because I know one thing that I like the idea of like of there being like a time limit on advantages. That was something that they were flirting with in 35, and we haven't seen like a ton of that here in 36 of like, you have this idol for X amount of time, you have this advantage for just this tribal council, and we haven't had a lot of that. There's been a little bit of playfulness with that, with like the JT idol that Chris could have added more tribals onto. Remember that was fun. But I feel like if they're like baking into the game design that there's essentially two final five moments within like the deeper merge where there's still so many people, that I think that you're right. Like, I think you could see some of these people empty out their bags of tricks a little bit, like between Dominic and Wendell, they both have an idol, so they've got two idols per their pair. Could one of those come out? You know, could this be an opportunity for Kellen to use that secret vote? Because there's five people here and like maybe you need to swing something. So that's interesting. This could be a big idol advantage week if we're going in this direction. You're talking me into it. I think it's as long as they've got time to talk about what they're going to do, as long as it's not straight from a challenge to tribal council, that would be a real bummer. That would be disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that this happens, but I think this would be fun. Josh, bring this whole, next time you're in Fiji, bring this whole podcast with you.
This entire one?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be on my phone.
See if you can fit it in your luggage.
Yeah, I think I'll give it a shot, I guess. It's my job, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Just print me out like a list of things you want me to say. I'm happy to do it.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
I'll casually leave it behind somewhere for somebody to find and
leave it on Ghost Island and then see if it matures into a real idea.
Yeah. I'm scared. I'm never going back to Ghost Island. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's scary things happened there for me.
Josh, a couple of weeks ago, we had the feedback show for Aubrey, and there was a question that came in. I feel like this was more of a Josh question than an Aubrey question, and so we played it there. The same thing happened this week, where we went through the feedback, and I felt like this is something that I don't think is really Eliza's wheelhouse. I think that this is more of a Josh Wiggler question, so I'd like to play for you a feedback question that we got from a great fan of the podcast, my buddy Finn.
Hey Rob and Eliza, it's Finn from California, longtime listener, first time caller. My question this week is, we all love Sebastian, and his Instagram URL with Jenna is Tarzan and Jen, making him the Tarzan in that relationship. Now, in the evolution of strategy, we concluded that Marty Piombo from Survivor Nicaragua sets up a time machine to go back as Marty McFly and bring back all sorts of other players trying to recorrect their errors. Malcolm ends up becoming Jimmy T. My question is, does Sebastian actually become Tarzan? Is this a hint and a cry for help? Is that why the crazy plastic surgeon from Survivor One World is so crazy? Has all that THC gone to his brain? Is he stoned out of his mind all the way to sixth place? Is that foreshadowing that Sebastian gets sixth place this season? I think it's a valid theory. Let me know. Yeah. Love your show. Have a wonderful week and take care.
Okay.
Jimmy THC. hey, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and Tarzan is like, he's in a quantum entanglement.
Yes,
that's Jenna.
They've been in this beautiful relationship. This is how it all started. This is the quantum entanglement that involves quantum physics.
It wouldn't surprise me if Sebastian was mistaking poop and chocolate, you know. So, you know, some of this is adding
yes.
up.
Well, you know, one of the side effects of time travel, though, right?
I know many of the side effects of time travel. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about nominal aphasia.
Nominal aphasia is true. Yeah, nominal aphasia is a big side effect of time travel. Of course, Tarzan was deeply afflicted with this.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I think this really could be amazing. And that means that also in the future, Jenna Bowman is going to visit the Survivor Island again as a loved one.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Some advice for Sebastian, then. Pay attention to the shocks on your car.
In the future, the shocks on your car.
They're gonna need replacement.
They're going to be totally shocked.
You're going to need to pay attention to that. Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very possible. Finn said, longtime listener, first time caller. I was listening to the feedback show with Eliza. Did somebody call in and say first time listener, long time caller?
Yeah. Yes, they did.
That was clever and went unacknowledged. And I thought that was good.
Yeah.
It's also a little frightening. that sounds like Dr. Mike, just to get his name in here.
I've been calling this show forever, but this is the first time I listen.
As long as Michael Yerger isn't a time traveling Dr. Mike,
I think
the timeline is stable.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Michael's only 18 now, but he's going to medical school.
Oh God. Doogie Yerger.
All right. Yeah. We have a lot more insanity coming up. But first, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Pro Flowers, who are reminding you that Mother's Day is just around the corner, Josh.
Yes, it is. And thank you for the reminder, because I need to set something up for my mom, and I've been very bad about this. I'm really slacking on my responsibilities as a good son, as the good son. I'm like the Macaulay Culkin in this scenario. I should be dropped off the cliff.
Yeah. When Survivor the Amazon finale had aired, the finale reunion show was on Mother's Day. And so that I got to take my mom to that. And that was a great Mother's Day gift. That was one year I didn't have to worry about a Mother's Day gift. But if you don't have some great thing to take your mom to on Mother's Day, how about a great bouquet from pro flowers, like 100 colorful blooms. We have an off-color bloom here on Rob's the Podcast, but these are...
The color, it needs some tuning up.
Yes. That pro flowers has 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling with the promo code REALITYTV with fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and unique vases, an accessory that mom will love. Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms that you know. So use the promo code REALITYTV at proflowers.com. Just get it out of the way so you don't forget. They've got the great deal. Your mom is going to love it. The flowers are going to stay fresh for 7 days with these beautiful flowers from Pro Flowers. The only way to get 100 colorful blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and use the promo code REALITYTV. That's the word reality space TV. That's at proflowers.com. Promo code REALITYTV. And those Pro Flowers are a big hit, not just for moms, but I also, I've learned this lesson the hard way. If you have children with a woman, that is also now another mom that you have to shop for. Even if it's not, Mother's Day doesn't mean your mom only.
Do I have to get anything for my wife if our child is a cat?
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Like, nobody will ever get mad at you and say, hey, why did you get this present for me? I'm not a mother.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure that Emily is in the other room.
Stop right there! You wanna know right now! Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Oh, my God.
We heard what we were just saying, so now I've probably committed to having to get Emily a Mother's Day gift for our cat, and probably was also waiting for that long, excruciating period of silence while Wanda was singing for me to complete the thought that I had, just wondering
yes,
what I was going to say.
Well, I think you can make the card say it's from the cat.
Oh, that's a great idea. Put like a little paw print on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
We'll workshop it. Workshop it.
All right. Here we are, Josh. We are back to the Wandoff. So much love for the Wandoff in person in Boston from all of the listeners of Rob is a Podcast.
Definitely my biggest regret of 2018 was not being able to be at the Boston Know-It-Alls, where we could have reveled in so many Wandoffs at karaoke. I apologize. I'll be there in New York in the fall.
Yeah. And we had this big development over the weekend that it turned out that it was a big favorite of not just Ben Driebergen, but also Lauren Rimmer is a big fan of the Wandoff. And she was talking about it on the podcast with Ben and Lauren.
I had heard rumors that Lauren Rimmer was a Wandoff fan at the Survivor 35 finale. I did not get to connect with Lauren Rimmer that evening, but there was like a little bit of buzz that I was hearing. Mm-hmm. that Lauren was looking for a Wandoff mixtape.
A CD. So, she wants a CD.
She wants the CD.
I got to figure out a way to burn a CD for Lauren.
Yeah. Do we do that anymore? Is that a thing that happens anymore? Do we burn CDs?
Boy, I hope they don't have a CD burning challenge at the Final Four of Survivor. I'd be screwed.
Yeah, you're in big trouble there. So that's great. That's fantastic.
I think I might have blank CDs in my attic.
This is a great incentive for people to just create Lauren Rimmer songs, because
she might as well ask for a VHS tape of songs.
I miss VHS. VHS was great. Yeah, make some Lauren Rimmer songs and send them her way. And then like you could just like feel cool knowing that not only are your songs being like played for another human being, mm-hmm. but they're being played on the open seas. You're going to feel one with the crabbing of it all.
Okay.
That's going to be great.
Well, we'll see if I can get somebody to assist with that. But Lauren Rimmer is a acknowledged fan of the Wand Off now. I guess we'll see if a Wombat's hat might be in her future. But
hey,
do you make it in white? Do you make it in a white Wombat's hat?
I heard that she you know, keeps it very clean with sand scrubs and everything. So I think the Wombat's hat as it exists, I think it would be right up her alley.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, after announcing on the podcast that Lauren Rimmer was such a big fan of the Wand Off, noted Wand Off superstar and the constructor of the Lauren Rimmer hype boat last season, that was his real first breakout hit, was all the Lauren Rimmer anthem. DJ LaBelle Klein quickly got out the pen and the pad to write a new Lauren Rimmer themed jingle about her weekend with Ben Dreebergen, and he put it out on Twitter.
Got a race on Saturday, so I had to bring a hustler and work on my pit crew. The queen hustler herself, Mrs. Lauren Rimmer, is here.
I'm doing fantastic. I'm enjoying the Boise, Idaho weather, and I'm ready to watch some race. And
hero and the hustler meeting the potato state. He knew that he could trust her. Now she's drinking Gatorade. Lauren is in Idaho. Visit Ben, she is in Idaho.
I think it's great. Then I'm like, this ain't gonna be good.
What she was talking about. Yeah, you can hear the whole song. It's almost 2 minutes on DJ LaBelle Klein's Twitter profile.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's done Attack Zone to Highway to the Attack Zone. I feel like
yeah,
that's waiting. That's out there waiting for somebody.
That was very impressive. I think that the turnaround time on that was like 30 hours from the podcast going out to DJ LaBelle Klein with the unsolicited Lauren Rimmer in Idaho theme music.
So much of this music is unsolicited in the opinions of so many listeners. But I'm soliciting them. I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, let's talk about last week, what was going on, episode number 9. And of course, we have our top 3 songs. And this one got a little out of hand with the voting. In third place, 9.3% of the listeners voted for Corey B with This Grub.
That was great. I enjoyed that grub.
Yes. 26.64% of the audience voted for Adam from Australia with Seb Shot Too High, the Afro Man song.
Oh, I loved Afro Man. Oh, yeah. My God. This is a blowout.
This is a blowout with 49.13% of the vote. We saw it was the return of Jenny and Colin.
Whoa!
Their first win of the year. They're going to the finals with You're Galicious.
Listen up, y'all, cause this is it. When Mike plays an idol, it's the effing stick.
You're Galicious definition hottest from Malolo. He's selling houses, wooing spouses with his mom.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my God.
Put It In Your Mouth was shut out of the top 3.
Wow, Shut Up Timmed out of the top 3.
Even though it was Lauren Rimmer's favorite.
Wow. Yeah, she did like that.
And the first lady of podcasting's favorite.
Yeah, the underreported story is what I'm hearing rumors. We don't need to get into that.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike
the
is going to be so
the
thrilled.
Song.
Dr. Mike is going to be very pleased with the return of
his
Jenny
favorite.
And Colin to the final
his
Wand Off. Well, welcome to Wombats Nation, Jenny and Colin. I mean, it's a long time coming. You get a hat, you get a hat.
Yeah. More international shipping on those hats.
Sorry, Rob.
Okay. All right. Let's welcome in Casey Kasem to kick off this week's Wand Off officially. Rob, it's a pleasure to be back with you. And if you want to ship a hat to me, it'll cost you more than international shipping. Okay.
It'll
thank
cost
you, Casey.
Your immortal soul.
I'll see you in hell.
That is where Wombat Nation is based.
In hell, we all wear a Wiggler's Wombat's hat. It's mandatory.
Oh, yeah, it's part of the uniform. Oh, my God. Would you rather wear a Wiggler's Wombat's hat or a LaBelle's Lobster's hat?
I don't think I could pull off the LaBelle's Lobster's hat.
I agree.
Yes.
It's the font.
I don't think only Brett could pull it off.
It's the font. Okay. It's the font. All right. Great hat, Brett. Great hat.
All right. Let's get to this week's honorable mentions. Shall we, Casey? Rob, that's a great idea. Let's get into it. All right.
Do you guys want to know something really quickly? Usually I get a Skype call from Rob when we're going to start these podcasts. Today, Casey called me directly. The Skype call came in to start the Wiggle Room, and it was Casey on the other line. Rob, did you know that Casey has access to your Skype account?
I didn't know that I was hacked.
You got hacked by the ghost of Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Probably not something you ever expected to happen in your lifetime.
No, we'll have to have an exorcism over the summer.
Yes.
During the long break. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's this batch of honorable mentions for episode number 10. Only three more regular wand-offs here in the season. We'll start this week with one from Alex Potato Baker. And he is somebody who would prefer to be a member of the Navidi tribe and not Malolo.
I'd like to be a Navidi instead of a Malolo in the game. The Derwin fish made them the worst. It even got out for Desiree. She was screwed as soon as they swapped. The bad juju, it just could not be stopped.
Wow.
That was the lyrical works of Ringo All Stars.
Impressive.
Not my
range.
Favorite season.
No, you don't like that. You don't like when Ringo went off on his own.
No.
Yeah. Wow. The vocal range on that was very impressive. Just the Malolo and the Seabass high.
Josh, next up is Justin from Washington Heights. Speaking of Sebastian and the high highs, this one is only 8 months early for the RHAP holiday special.
Sebastian, he is so high up in that chopper he's in. After that reward challenge, that purple was bound to win. He is
so high. He is so damn high. Sebastian is super high.
Referencing his altitude. He is so high. He is so damn high. Sebastian is super high. In the air to spare. Sci-fi.
Once again, only referencing his altitude.
Now, Justin from Washington Heights has so much range that he's actually submitted two one-off honorable mentions this week. Here's Justin from Washington Heights talking about Desiree.
Patrons up in Boston tonight. Shout out, Shut Up Tim, Josh Wiggler, the Mayo Jar, Wiggler's Wombat.
It's Wanda, it's Wanda.
I really didn't know that Des could play like this. She's making Dom and Laurel real nervous. She didn't say that, or did she say that? I don't know.
It's Wanda, it's Wanda.
Oh, Des, when you talk like that, you make Laurel real mad. Oh, Desiree, I gotta say, that wasn't your best move. Malolo's right, Des, you really did lie, and you voted out tonight.
Shout out to Helen.
Keller.
You target Kellen, and then you go out at 11.
That was the latest hit from Spy Shakira. Oh, you don't like that?
No, I'm speaking llama. You don't understand when I talk llama to you?
Oh my God, Shakira, I'm such a big fan.
I'm of Tony Marcos being a huge Spy Shakira fan. I want to see Tony Marcos at a concert. Any concert.
Any concert.
God, that is something we need in our life.
Up next is one of our listeners, the Noble One, and that is Matt Noble, here to talk about what Dominic sees when he goes to sleep at night.
Oh, as Des started to plot, Kellen's gut instinct went off. Michael was out of effing sticks. But Donathan found an idol prize. And Sebastian, he's still high. Dom, he dreams of laurel eggs and cheese. Dom's big breakfast dream. Oh, what can it mean to us? Survivor season laurels. Dad's modern shame.
I mean, why was that? What was that? What was the dream where
the wand off?
Dad is Martin Sheen? Why?
That was a hit from way back from the Howler Monkeys.
I just don't understand it. I don't, like, what are we supposed to read into it? And if there is some sort of Emilio Estevez prophecy on the table, is it a happy Emilio Estevez prophecy, like a Mighty Ducks? Or is it Young Guns 2? Both Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez are dead by the end of the two Young Guns movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a bad omen. Spoiler alert for movies that came out long ago. Shout out to Bon Jovi and the dad from Fear who plays Pat Garrett and Mr. Robot who plays Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh. Go see Young Guns 2 in theaters now if you have a time travel device.
Next up is Taylor W., who has a song about the plight of Desiree.
Remember what you said to us when we were by the shelter. You guys are crazy. Don't let the past remind us of what I said before. I am not scheming. I'm with you, never mind how they know I lied. This game's so hard.
Oh, God.
That was a beautiful melody.
I'm very excited for this. Oh, God. What's it going to be? Who is it?
From Crosby, Stills, and Wyatt Nash.
Young Woo Hwang could not make it to this recording session, unfortunately. Wyatt Nash, what's up? How are you doing?
And then the final honorable mention of the week comes to us from Michael Clark, and he wants to talk about how Kellen knows how to make decisions.
Do you have it? Do you have it, guts?
This gut don't lie to me. And right now, my gut tells me, go use the bathroom.
You're always using your gut.
I would have given you all of my votes. But that Dominic, he thinks that we're goats. If we don't make a move, we'll be sad. Guess I wanna try to vote Kellen. Baby, I'll try to vote Kellen, cause I know this girl's gut is the weakest. Wonder I know this girl's gut is the weakest. When it comes to trusting me, she's first.
When it comes to trusting literally 8 other people, she's one. Oh,
brutal. Savage.
That was a ballad from Sherry Beathman Crow.
Oh, man. This is a mouthful of a lyric there, but very funny.
All right. Now, Josh, before we get to this week's top five, I have something else that I want to play for you. First, I want to make a special shout out to Kate B., the 11-year-old from New Jersey.
What's up, Kate?
Who received a number of write-in votes for her work last week on the show. And Kate, if you email Rob, we'll make sure that you've got a Wigglers Wombats hat coming your way.
Nice. Welcome to Wombats Nation. I approve.
Also, Kate, stop listening to the podcast now.
Can I as well bow out of the podcast? I'm very nervous.
I want to prepare you for what's coming your way.
Oh, no.
Now, Josh usually gets a lot of flack from Shut Up Tim about his hat.
Oh, no.
This week, we have something totally different from someone who is a fan of the Wiggler Wombat's hat. Here's Lindell.
Wiggler, take off your shoes.
Whoa.
But don't stub your toe. Gonna ride you like sea basket. Are you stony below? Feltkind and Phil might have beef, but I have beef curtains. You can leave your hat on. Yes, I mean the wombat one. I don't mind being sh** on. You give me reason to sing. The wand off gets me going. Rob, you're welcome to join in. But please bring Casey Kasem. Wand, wanna, wanna. You can leave your wombat hat on.
Oh my god. Why? You know what is really messed up is that this is not the first time I have been propositioned for a menage a trois on the Wanda.
Hell yeah, this is a menage a trois.
Except I think we were proposed for a foursome because Casey is invited as well.
How many hats do we need?
We need many hats. We need to protect ourselves. There is a line.
Even I'm not
song.
Old enough to hear that.
The line about beef that I won't repeat is one of the most amazing things that I've ever heard.
Boy.
Like, I want to give a hat away for that, but at the same time, I'm nervous to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was told to leave my hat on, so I will. Emily, are you still in the other room?
Double those flowers, Josh.
These are
promo code reality to
your
TV.
Very faithful husband.
All right, let's get to the top five Wandoff songs of the week. Okay. Number one this week, our first entry. Of course, you can vote for the Wandoff. Go to robinswebsite.com/votewanda. Eric H. is here. And he's got a song all about a lie from Desiree this week.
All right.
Open up, man. What's up? My alliance has caught me.
How'd they do that?
Well, I just told him. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Just say it wasn't you.
All right. My Alex came and they called me red-handed, skewing with the Malolo 4. Picture this, I was gonna try to get Kellen out that freaking door. How could I have known that Laura was close to Dominic? All this time I thought I had it, but I guess I wasn't slick.
How you gonna make your game into a sickle? Blowing it up like it's a freaking pinball. Better watch your back or be like Helen Keller. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to put you down like old Yeller. To be a true player, got to know how to play. If Laurel says it's night, then you say it's day. Never admit to a word that she said. And if she claims you're right, tell her I'll know we're here.
But they call me Tom Laurel.
It wasn't me.
Jonathan backed her up.
It wasn't me.
Jenna even repeated those sentiments.
It wasn't me.
Even Michael pitched in.
It wasn't me.
At Trouble, I was defensive.
It wasn't me.
I'm only gonna say this one time.
It wasn't me.
I promise I was telling the truth.
It wasn't me.
I'm a Lolo going home tonight. My allies came and they called me red-handed, skewing with the Malolo 4. Picture this, I was gonna try to get Kellen out that freaking door. How could I have known that Laura was close to Dominic? All this time I thought I had it, but I guess I wasn't slick.
Does it?
That was a hit single for Shaggy, a.k.a. Gary Hoga Boombastic.
Wow. Boom Bombastic. Haga Boomtastic. That was great. That song was fantastic.
That was Eric H.
Good job, Eric. Very funny.
Next up, we're going to go a little bit country. And we've got a song about Desi from Gregory McBean.
She's loaded up like Bradley James to Cuban Gonzalez. It broke her heart. She spent her whole day trying to get Kellen. She tried to get Navidi back a little at a time, but she never could get close enough to convince them of her last night tonight. Laura had that info in her hand and pulled the trigger. They finally voted out an LVD. Dad had trust, but this time it took longer than a 10-second convo on the beach. Do me, Nick had to go talk to Kellen to see if they'd vote Desi off the track. And when they arrived at tribal council, Survivor Angel sang a Desi lullaby. La 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 la.
That was a ballad from Brad Verata Paisley.
Wow. Mr. McBean with that crooning country voice. Great job, Gregory. The Survivor community is incredible. Here we are, like, laughing at these absurd rap songs, these sex propositions. And we also have, like, these incredible, mournful, soulful country ballads. We contain multitudes here in the Wanda.
Josh, let's go to number three this week, and it comes to us from Corey B. and Sherry, and they've got a song about some falsehoods told by Desiree.
Strong, but let's reverse them when they'll sue. Put Kellen first, but there's a big fight. It's not okay. Laura threw my game away, so I can try to flip once more. And even though it's my first four,
talking to Malolo and now I'm going solo because I'm seeing a light, seeing a light.
not lying.
Being so deceiving, but no one is believing, because I'm saying a lie, saying a lie.
Can I reply?
Why I'm die, saying a lie, saying a lie.
What is the lie?
Why I'm die, saying a lie.
Oh!
To God, I did not say that.
Ain't going nowhere. Someone believe me. Nobody vote me out.
It's gonna be fireworks.
Ain't going nowhere. Nobody vote me out.
They could tell I was lying.
Why are you saying a lie?
Any more to the conversation? No? Okay.
That was the 70s group, the PGs.
That has to be the first time we've had a BG song on here, because you would have used that joke a long time ago. Or maybe there's just been so many funny jokes along the way that you used it and I forgot.
I think that that is a first from the PGs.
Nice. Hopefully not a last. That was wonderful.
Number four this week comes to us from Dental Dave. Here it is.
Desi and Laurel, Chris and Dom 2.0. Like LaBelle, Plan and Phil T, one has gotta go. I knew 2 seconds into the show when she spoke of being homeless, says was gonna go home. A fight to the finish, battle to the death. Nowadays knows you don't go against a fan. Leave the gun, take the cannoli down it thin. Find your idols like East Kentucky Ginseng.
East Kentucky
Ginseng. They can't refuse. Angelou got ghost, but there's no vote for you. The keeper's on bottom, now he's rising to the top. Yogurt's just a youngster, but we all saw his ball drop. Yeah, we all saw his ball drop. Hey, Dr. Mike, we got testy heel map. Karen Keller thought she sat on the throne, but she had to bow down to Dom Corleone. Like Stonewall Jackson, the BD strong. Couldn't believe that something could go wrong. Now we got an BD sized crack. You're Tyler Wagle with my wombat hat.
Tyler
Wagle with my wombat hat. With my wombat hat.
It blew up.
Did we just get incinerated?
I don't know.
We in the blast radius? Listeners of the Wandoff go first in sudden departure.
The Kellen bomb, I think. That was the hit collaboration between Jay Byers Z and Lincoln Jurassic Park that Seabass goes to.
Yes, I was hoping it was Lincoln Jurassic Park. That's so dumb.
Dude, it feels like we're flying into Jurassic Park right now.
And then, Josh, our number five song in the country this week. It comes from a two-time winner this season and a former collaborator with the Mayo Jar. It's Bob from Columbus, and he's got something to say about Desiree.
Oh my God. She plays with her gut. I can't watch her. She's totally like,
I like big guts on these faster ways. While Sebastian's out getting blazed, Desiree comes in to make a fuss with a big move from her gut. I go nuts. When I hear that Kellen discuss her gut with Dom, she's chilling. About attempted mutiny. Her gut is under scrutiny. Oh, Darnell, you're on a different season. But we still got a reason to bring up your gut so plump, even though it's sand.
You gotta take a dump.
And Chelsea's just been sitting to a gut, she should be listening. So use it, not talking about a bowel movement. I've seen Laurel scheming, her gut is double teaming. She's skill, chill, love a gut, can't get my fill. I'm tired of these castaways, playing with heads and hearts these days. Ask Dominic, cause you can't deny, he's the family's wise guy. So Tommy, Tommy, are you gonna trust your gut? Then vote it, vote it, vote it. Even Chuck Probst got to shout, Desi got whacked. Desi got whacked. Desi tried to lie, but she just can't act. Desi tried to lie, but she just got whacked.
Wow.
I've got a choice for you. That's either Yasser Mix-a-Lot or Sir Mix Trimming a Lot.
Well, I know how you feel about mix trimming, so let's go with Sir Mix a Lot. Dominic sipping the coffee was incredible. Also. That was absolutely incredible. Well, that's what I say every time I listen to a Wandoff, baby.
You can vote for this week's Wandoff when you go to robazawebsite.com/votewanda. Of course, special thanks to Randy Neupel and Jason Curtis Rivera for their help going through all of the Wandoff entries. And as always, you could listen to the entire Wandoff SoundCloud playlist when you're a patron of Rob as a Podcast. Go to robazawebsite.com/patron. For more information. And actually, Casey, it bears a notice that the Wandoff was sort of a light week on the Wandoff. Too many people were in Boston. That we were top heavy. But I think we had like 20 entries on the Wandoff this week. A season low.
The 300 people who attended the Boston Know-It-Alls are also
a lot of heavy
Wandoff
hitters
artists.
From the Wandoff.
Yeah. It was great. I laughed. I had a fantastic time. So. Yeah. Sure. All good on my end.
All right. Only 3 weeks left of the Wandoff before we get to the final Wandoff this season, Josh.
And I'm really trying not to comment on the fact that it sounds like you're complaining about there not being more Wandoffs for you to have to listen to potentially mix together as jam tapes.
No, I was just saying that this was like a big drop off this week. I think that everybody was like the quality was there, but the quantity was.
I just imagine you were looking for some songs to put together is all I'm saying. Trying to, perfect your craft.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, what fun we had today.
Such fun. Great fun.
We had a think tank.
We had
a wand off.
We had a wand off.
We talked about time travel.
We were propositioned. Me more than you, but you also were.
Yeah, like 90-10.
You were lightly propositioned, and the ghost of Casey Kasem was also propositioned.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the third and fourth wheel.
You were like being invited to be a voyeur, maybe.
All right, let's stop talking about this.
Things happened is the point. And we're still going. Still got a few more weeks of this shindig. So okay. That's great.
All right. Well, lots of fun stuff coming up on the podcast. No Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls this week.
Whoa, where's Steven going to be?
Honestly, I don't know. He tells me he can't do it. I don't pry.
Okay, that's probably fair. You just don't want it. You don't want to risk it. So who's on the Know-It-Alls this week instead?
Well, we will have here in the studio with me a great friend of the podcast, David Wright, will be here.
Another season 33 castaway. I mean,
no,
really?
It's just the latest season 33 castaway.
First, just want to put it out there, first to the inevitable chorus.
Yes.
Of nobody who can give you a break because you're not working hard enough.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
David Wright is great. David Wright is great on the podcast. He'll be great on the Know-It-Alls. He'll be here in the studio with me. It's very fun. And it'll be like a live Know-It-Alls from my apartment.
Mm-hmm. Who else is going to be on the podcast this week?
And then Tyson Apostle this week on the recap.
Okay. How many hours do you
think? No, we don't do that anymore.
You've moved away from it.
We got to live our life. And then also...
what have I been telling you?
Yes. And then on the feedback show this week, I'm very excited for Rourke Luskin.
That's awesome. Rourke's great. Rourke's fantastic.
And I will not be asking her about to try to make sense of that Martin Sheen dream.
She'll help. She'll be able to help, I think.
She will have a keen insight.
I think so. I think that Rourke's going to be very helpful in that regard. So sounds like a great week on the podcast. That sounds like I'm shading Steven because it's like, oh, Steven's gone.
No, we are closing out the season strong.
Yes, yes. I'm excited. Going to be great. Going to be fantastic. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah. Of course, also plenty going on post-show recaps in addition to myself and Jessica Lee's cover to the latest episode of Fear of the Walking Dead. A lot
Where's
going
Mix
on there.
Trimming?
Yeah. Of course, Josh and I also have a rewatch of season 3, episode 9 of Game of Thrones, an episode known as The Reigns of Castamere, up on Post Show Recaps. Of course, Josh is covering Westworld as well on Post Show Recaps with Joe Garfine. And then also, Josh, are the rumors true that you will have a special Marvel Cinematic Universe update podcast this week?
Yes, I'm getting together with my good friend Jim Gibbons. We are recording this in about 4 hours from the time I hang up the phone with you and the ghost of Casey Kasem, and we're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War. We'll play catch up on a lot of the other stuff we have missed over the past few months, including the incredible Black Panther. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the Netflix shows. We'll just kind of, you know, take the pulse of what's going on at Marvel, because I don't know if you've heard about this Avengers Infinity War. It's breaking box office records left and right, and it's a kind of crazy movie. So we're going to talk about it, and it's going to be great.
Okay. Looking forward to that. And, of course, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on social media. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Josh is at Round Howard. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Oblivious to the hexes and the curses that all came before. Shelter. I lost myself when I crashed on the shore.
And we haven't had a lot of that. There's been a little bit of playfulness with that, with like the JT idol that Chris could have added more tribals onto. Remember that? That was fun. You know, to,
excuse me.
Oh God, I killed Rob.
I went down the wrong pipe.
Oh no, he's dead.
Like
Casey, bring him back to us. Okay, right, reset. I tried regroup.
I tried to bluff my way through it, but I didn't.
No, it's over. It's over. It's over. Podcast is done. Cancel the podcast.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's finished. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.